Let me invite you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Take a little break from the study of Ephesians. For a message related to the holiday that we're going to celebrate this week. You know, for the follower of Christ, the challenge isn't so much about celebrating a holiday of Thanksgiving. The challenge for me as a follower of Christ is about practicing the art of thankful living. Thanksgiving, I think, is a good term. I don't struggle with saying thanks as much as I struggle with living as a genuinely thankful person. And the passage that we're going to look at today is a short verse in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 18. But I believe this little verse is packed with one of the greatest challenges of the Christian faith. It's part of a series of rapid-fire instructions that Paul is giving to one of the most faithful fellowships of believers in the New Testament. First Thessalonians is one of the few letters that Paul wrote to a group of believers in which there were no words of rebuke or admonition, only positive feedback and instruction. So they were faithful. But he gives several instructions concerning the things that are to be a part of the Christian's conduct. So let's begin reading in verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll read through the end of the chapter, but we're going to focus on verse 18. It says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." See, this is just all kinds of easy stuff, is it not? "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And then this instruction, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit and do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." Lord, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word, to these timeless instructions, to these important things for us to understand. Give us insight, open our hearts and minds to understand your truth. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Three simple things today. They're simple. They'll be simple enough to remember, simple enough to understand, not maybe necessarily so simple to do, but that's what we need to see what God's word. We're going to look at the command to give thanks in everything. We'll look at the challenge with giving thanks in everything. Then we'll look at the choice. So the command, the challenge, and the choice to give thanks in everything. Let's start with the command. We see it right here in verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Nothing difficult about the language or the translation of this verse to understand. It's a straightforward, imperative command to give thanks in everything. The verse tells us that we are to have an attitude of gratitude in everything that we face in life. Giving thanks, One word in the Greek, eucharisto, means to show oneself grateful, to demonstrate gratitude. It's in the present tense, indicating that our giving thanks is to be a continuous action happening now. So regardless of what we find ourselves in, that's what we're supposed to do, is give thanks. And it's in the active voice, indicating that we're the ones responsible for the giving of that thanks. This means, you understand what it means, we're responsible to give thanks in every circumstance, in every situation, in every challenge, in every disappointment, in every discouragement, in every disaster, in every difficulty, in every victory, and in every failure, in every conflict, in every blessing, in everything, it says. It's not acceptable for us to look at any circumstances in our lives and decide that we can choose any other course of action than to be thankful. You're good at that, right? I hope you're better at it than I am. It's not acceptable for us to choose not to be thankful because we don't feel like being thankful. Our gratitude should be connected to everything in our lives, no matter how wonderful it appears on the surface or how difficult or challenging it might actually be. This command reminds us that no matter what our situation might be, there's always a reason to give thanks to the Lord. This isn't a new concept. God has always wanted His people to be a thankful people. Back in the book of Leviticus, chapter 3 and chapter 11, there are these instructions for offering thank offerings to God and peace offerings. These were designed to remind people back in the days in the Old Testament that they were to be a thankful people who acknowledged that everything came from the hand of God, who is a gracious and loving provider. And not only is this not a new requirement, we need to be aware of the fact that this is not an isolated instance. This is not an isolated command in the New Testament. It's common to see instructions concerning the giving of thanks and gratitude. Just some examples. If you flip back to the book we are studying week by week, and in chapter 5, we'll look at this in a no telling how long down the road, but in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, we read that, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit," which I think is a key to doing the things that are about to be laid out in front of us. "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." That passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 we're reading says that we are to give thanks in everything. And how many times have you ever heard anybody say, "Well, the Bible tells me I have to give thanks in everything, but I don't have to give thanks for everything. I don't have to be thankful for everything." Well, you just need to show them this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, because it says, "Be thankful for all things." In Philippians chapter 4, Paul wrote in verse 6, Philippians 4 is a great chapter. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, we read, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing flowing with gratitude. In Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Three verses, thankfulness is mentioned three times. We could easily have focused on that passage this morning for this message. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Why is giving thanks important for believers? Well, the best answer is provided by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul gives the instruction to give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So it's important to give thanks because that's God's will. That's God's will for our lives. And if there's anything that we ought to take seriously as followers of Christ, it is what? Doing the will of God. When Jesus instructed the disciples to pray, he told them to pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's where we are, right? That's with us. God's will would be done. And God makes it abundantly clear to all of us that the doing of his will includes the giving of thanks in all things. So if I am not approaching, if I'm not responding to whatever is happening in my life with gratitude, I am not in God's will, right? That's pretty, makes it pretty important. This is an important issue in our lives. And I don't know, surely you do not do this, but I think sometimes too often in my life I find myself excusing myself and making excuses and rationalizing and justifying my lack of obedience to what God tells me to do. And this is one of those areas. It is the will of God for me to give thanks in everything and even for everything. That's the command. Why is it such a challenge for us to do that? Well, it shouldn't be a challenge. And here's why. Because as I look back over my life, the worst things that have happened to me, the things for which naturally in the flesh it is the most difficult for me to give thanks for in the midst of it, the things that have happened that have been the most difficult for me in the middle of them to be thankful, what is true of those difficult things? They have in fact been some of the greatest blessing producers in my life. They've been some of the best things that have ever happened to me. At the time, they didn't feel like it. At the time, it didn't look like it was going to be good, but it always worked out for good. In all of those cases where I was bewildered and searching for answers as to what I should do and why, and I was doing everything but giving thanks, I look back on on those things, and now I'm thankful for how God used them in my life. I've made some terrible mistakes that have had some devastating consequences. I'm not thankful for the mistakes that I made, but I am thankful for the work that God accomplished through those mistakes. And I might be wrong in that. It might be that I ought to be thankful for the mistakes that I made, because apart from them, I would not have learned. The work of God would not have been done. Giving thanks in all things is a challenge, because a lot of things that come into our lives cause distress and discomfort and disappointments and discouragement and pain and financial loss. They generate fear, or they are just undesirable things. And while these things are happening, we don't always know what God's up to. We don't see what He sees. We don't know what He knows. But we do know that He sees the beginning from the end at the same time. And we know we can only see the here and now. And we can trust that He truly has established His thrones in the heavens. And His sovereignty rules over all. And He controls all things. And He is sovereign in His power and absolute in His control of all things. And we know He hasn't made His first mistake yet. He is all wise and all knowing. And He truly loves us and is genuinely committed to our best interest. His primary concern, I've said this many, many times through the years, His primary concern is not with our happiness and satisfaction and comfort, but with what? Conforming us to the image of His Son and His glory, His being glorified in our lives. And if our primary concern is for anything other than being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, we are likely to respond to adversity with something other than gratitude. Thanksgiving in everything is a challenge because of our natural tendency and inclination to be selfish. Selfishness manifests itself in our lives when we are not satisfied with what God has provided, and we are unhappy with the circumstances into which He has placed us. I still have a desire too often to be God in my life and want things the way that I want them. Disappointment and frustration come when my expectations are not met, and I have trouble giving thanks when I am frustrated and disappointed. In fact, I think those two things are mutually exclusive, are they not? Try being thankful and at the same time angry, which I say frustrated and, you know, disappointed and frustrated. The word frustrating is not in the Bible. In reality, it's what? It's just anger. And try being angry and thankful at the same time. Doesn't work. I get mad because things aren't going my way. So we struggle to be thankful when we always want more of what we want. And we don't like it when things are not perfect in our lives. So it's a challenge. There's a command to in everything give thanks, but that is a challenge for us. But don't we have a choice? We do. We can choose to say, okay, God, You're right. We choose to give thanks to our Heavenly Father for His great love and His faithfulness. We decide to trust Him with all of our hearts and what? Don't lean on our own understanding. We choose to be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known to God. We choose to praise Him for His sovereign power and absolute control in everything. We acknowledge that nothing has come to us that has not first passed through His loving hands. Someone once said, it's better to lose count while naming your blessings than to lose your blessings counting your troubles. C.S. Lewis said, "We ought to give thanks for all fortune if it is good, because it is good, and if bad, because it works in us patience, humility, and the contempt of this world and the hope of our eternal country." But let me kind of warn you at this point. Choosing gratitude in the midst of troubles is not a magic formula to make those troubles go away. Making this choice will not automatically wipe away every challenge or concern. But again, we just remember, we choose to be thankful because we recognize that God is concerned more with our maturity and our character and our conformity to the image of His Son than anything else. The reality of life is that our problems will never go away, no matter how thankful we are to God in everything. What we will find when we make this choice is that our confidence to trust in God, no matter what happens, is strengthened. Our confidence in Him is strengthened. And we gain a little wisdom that helps us understand a little more of what God is doing in our lives. And we will mature in some area. And we'll be better equipped for the next struggle that comes along. And more than likely, we will be prepared for the opportunities that lie ahead of us to help somebody else that might be going through what we're going through. It always has a reason. The great Bible commentator Matthew Henry was once robbed, and his wallet was stolen with all of his money. He wrote in his diary following the incident, he said, "Let me be thankful, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. But fourth, because it is I who was robbed and not the robber." You know, we got to be vigilant to guard our hearts against attitudes of ingratitude. And the best way to do that is to replace our attitudes of ingratitude with the habit of giving thanks in everything. And there's a key to that, and that key is contentment. It's kind of hard to separate gratitude with contentment, because if we're not content, we will not truly be thankful for what God brings to us. Contentment means that we are satisfied with who we are in Christ. It means that we're satisfied with what God has provided, and it means that we will rest in Him in the midst of the circumstances in which He has placed us. The Bible says a great deal about contentment. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.'" Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:6 through 8, "But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied with contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content." I think Paul was echoing the words of Christ from the Sermon on the Mount. He wrote that. In Philippians 4, Paul says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." And I would just remind you that Paul wrote those words from a prison cell. Contentment in the midst of an unjust imprisonment. He learned to be content if he was filled or if he was hungry. And here's what I think we can acknowledge. It doesn't have to take years to learn this. I think it's something we can choose today. And if we would choose contentment, we would find it much easier to give thanks in everything. Two little teardrops were floating down the river of life. One teardrop asked the other, "Who are you?" The teardrop answered, "I am the teardrop from a girl who loved a man and lost him." "But who are you?" The first teardrop replied, "I am the teardrop from the girl who got him." Life is like that, isn't it? We cry over the things we can't have, but we might cry twice as hard if we had received them. This is why we have to seek to learn what Paul learned, to live content. Choosing contentment requires faith. It requires faith to accept the reality that God's providence is in operation through every moment and in every circumstance that we face. If we recognize God's providence and we acknowledge God's love and faithfulness, we can stop trying to sort out the meaning of every difficult situation that we face. Paul knew that it was God who was at work in him both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Proverbs 16:9 says, The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That's something that's true whether we believe it or not. It's like gravity. You know, the reality of gravity doesn't go away no matter how strongly we deny its existence. It still works. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans of a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand." You see, a predominant theme running through the Bible is God's providence. God has always been in control. And he's always been in control no matter what the immediate circumstances might look like. You see that in the book of Genesis in the life of Joseph. He faced one challenge after another. He would take one step forward and three steps backward on the way to his position as the prime minister of Egypt and as the one who would preserve the nation of Israel. We saw it in the life of Esther as God placed her in the palace of the king to stop a conspiracy that would have wiped out the Jews. You see, if we would truly trust in God's providence and accept the fact that our steps are directed by Him, we could choose the same contentment that Paul expressed in Philippians. In our contentment, we'd be satisfied with whatever God provided, no matter how much or how little, and that would make it easier for us to give thanks in everything. In our contentment, we would rely solely on God's power and provision and live with confident trust. Contentment is critical to sustaining an attitude of gratitude. I know I've got a lot to learn and a whole lot of improvement to do in this area, but what discontentment and ingratitude, those are two sinister sisters partnering to work to undermine my spiritual progress and rob me of the joy that God wants me to live or to experience. The command, in everything give thanks. Command is important because it's God's will. The command is a great challenge because our circumstances bring us a great variety of undesirable consequences because we're selfish and naturally desire comfort and ease. We find an attitude of gratitude almost impossible in the midst of those undesirable happenings. But because the command is important and because the challenge is great, we have but one duty. That's to choose. To choose to be thankful. Choose contentment, and from that chosen position of contentment, true thanksgiving can flow. And for us then, the art of thanksgiving should become thanks living, right? Thankful living. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your truth, and we thank you for the challenge. We thank you for the command, because in your commands you reveal your will for us, and it is your will that we give thanks in everything. It is even your will that we give thanks for everything. Those are clearly and explicitly spelled out in your word. God, we thank you for the challenges that we face in obeying that command, because it's in the challenges that we learn to trust. And we thank you for the ability through your indwelling spirit to choose to be a thankful people. We just pray that, I pray that for each one of us, through not just through this week, but through the rest of our lives, God, we might learn to be a grateful people who live for your honor and your glory. And all of God's people said, Amen.